Neil, thank you. Thank you for that. Having just come from a meeting first thing this morning with the Department for Education, which was covering England, where the two of us in the meeting were from Scotland, resulted in certain interesting eyebrows being raised. However, what we're talking about here is, despite devolution, a UK-wide agenda. It's an agenda about the way in which universities and a particular part of universities, that is business schools, can engage with the business community. Bear with me while I get the technology to work. Which it is proving distinctly reluctant to do.
Any suggestions?
There we go. Anyway, right. Let's hope now there is some relationship between pushing a button and something happening. So anyway, what I want to talk to you today about is an element of really trying to explore the ways in which business schools across the UK are able to connect with the regional innovation and growth agenda, specifically about the way in which business schools connect with regional SME communities. Because we fully recognize that the new economy we're facing is one in which the small startup business is an ever larger part. A name we'll keep referring to in this conversation is David Young, Lord Young, and he himself will refer back to work in the 1960s, the Bolton Report, which was the future is large businesses. Well, we've come round a full circle. A lot of the future is small businesses, and for business schools engaging with that small business community, particularly at a regional level, is absolutely critical. Bear with me, this is proving deeply frustrating. There we go. Setting the scene for business schools, I think we've got to, we're in this country, I think it's a British understatement, it's perhaps a particular English understatement, that we don't brag about what we're good at. And there is no question, by whichever measure you look at, British business schools are very successful. We are looking at having in the region of 130 schools across the UK. And I want to make an important point here, that they are all across the UK. This is one of the few industries, one of the few business sectors we have in Britain that is uniformly spread across the country. If you take England, you can be looking at business schools from Newcastle through to Plymouth. A wide range, and that is, when I come on to talking about supporting regional SMEs, that is very important. The sheer scale of business schools, the sheer scale of students studying in business schools, 14% of all higher education students. Despite challenges, shall we put it that way, with the visa regime, 35% of the students in business schools are non-UK originated, particularly strong in master's level programs. These are people who we have started to turn away because we are limiting their opportunities to set up businesses when they finish. The post-study opportunities are not what they were. We've responded to that by having very successful overseas campuses. There was a reference earlier from I think it was Michael Heseltine, making the observation that we don't learn enough from other countries. I think one of the great strengths of the business school sector is we are a global sector and we do learn well from other countries. A bit of an arcane point, we have more schools with both European and US accreditations than any other country. In research terms, we are second only to the US. And let us not forget, in the context of a local economic role, we are vitally important to our domestic universities. The student numbers, the student fees, they feed through to a very significant local economic impact. So let's just think a bit about, so that's business schools. Let's just think a bit about what business schools do in relation to business performance. And I just want to give you a slight alternative perspective on STEM, that acronym that we all love, science, technology, engineering, and maths, and give you a slight variation on that theme, that science is technology, we'll bundle engineering and maths up into that, but it should also be about entrepreneurship and management. As a country, we are pretty damn good at inventing. As a country, we are not so good at turning those inventions into innovative products, into global leading brands. So I would make an argument that there is an important role for thinking about STEM in a slightly different way. So if I look at what business schools can do in terms of supporting innovation and growth, the first one is about fostering an entrepreneurial society. I'll come on to give you some examples in a second, but if you look across the UK, the number of universities that have dedicated areas, dedicated groupings, dedicated centres in entrepreneurship, in innovation, in enterprise is growing all the time. And some of these are operating at absolute top international performance level. We have an important role as translators. A lot of us, if I look at my own institution, Loughborough, it's a heavily engineering-dominated institution. A lot of my staff spend an inordinate amount of time working on EPSRC-funded projects with engineering and science colleagues, which is very much about translating those into practice. So we have a role about transforming ideas into businesses. We, in our own core research areas, are concerned with developing new business models. We are concerned with redesigning business processes. These are not technology driven, they are business model, they are business practice driven. And lastly, let's just acknowledge work that we as the Association of Business Schools have done with the Chartered Management Institute recently. We still, compared to our OECD rivals, lag behind those countries in terms of the qualifications of UK managers. British business schools were set up 40 plus years ago, if you look at the founding of LBS and Manchester Business School, to enhance the quality of UK management, to improve productivity. We have only partially succeeded. We have been distracted partly by alternative drivers, alternative incentives. There we go. So in terms of the growth agenda, against that backdrop, what do we do? We recognize there's been any number of reports have highlighted the importance of ensuring that appropriate support is available regionally, is available locally to support from micro businesses through to mid-sized businesses. Business schools have been involved. There was a mid-sized business report. It was the ABS and the CBI were involved in that, around what we can do to support mid-sized businesses. There's been a lot of work, if you look at the work that David Young has done, around supporting the small, supporting the micro-business, supporting the startup. So there's a lot of concern about the need for appropriate support. There's equally, at the same time, a recognition of the need to rebalance the economy. We've talked about this morning in the context of devolution within England, to ensure that we have regional hubs that are capable of delivering high levels of sustainable economic growth. So the Heseltine report, the Young reports, they all fit into that. And I think one of the things I really want to highlight here is the emphasis on exploiting existing capability rather than reinventing capability. Now, I missed Simon Collinson's presentation this morning, but knowing Simon and sharing views with him, one of the things I would argue is we need to recognize the value of our long-established civic institutions, and universities are key civic institutions. Local government, and my apologies to those of you who work in local government, comes and goes. It gets changed, it gets restructured. Our universities, whether they're pre-92s or post-92s, have got a very significant degree of durability. So there was a financial pressure to use existing institutions rather than creating new agencies. And I would argue universities, and within that business schools, have a particular durability, have a particular depth that's available to be exploited. And that was recognized in the Witty review. Let's just actually look and run through some really practical examples. And I apologize to those of you, if there's anybody from business schools here who don't happen to be mentioned, this was a a pick and mix picture to give you a sense of the type of initiatives, the type of programs that are and activities that are run through business schools. One of the most successful SME support programs with a large scale regional development fund backing, it has been in existence for 20 years now, is the LEAD program at Lancaster. Very successful, seen in the US as an example of best practice. Linked to that, things like the Northern Leadership Academy. Business schools compete, yes, but we can also occasionally collaborate. And that was Lancaster, Leeds, and Liverpool. Again, very enduring. We're not just dependent on public funding to support this. You look towards the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, led out of Aston, Manchester Metropolitan, Leeds, and UCL. Again, an example of the ways in which business schools engage with a wide range of SMEs. Turning more to the research side, Economic and Social Research Council and British Bankers Association supported Enterprise Research Centre at Aston and Warwick, providing some of the intellectual underpinning, providing some of the intellectual content, but with a very, very practical, very practical bent. I'd encourage you to go and look at their website. And two units I just drawn down, both of them, the reason I chose them is they both had philanthropic backing. Increasing numbers of universities are securing philanthropic backing to support infrastructure to assist SMEs. So good examples of practical support. But I couldn't do the private Fraser moment, Dad's Army, we're all doomed. I couldn't be unfailingly positive because I would argue, I think most of my colleagues would argue, that the full potential of business schools has not as yet been realised. And the way in which business schools have engaged with an innovation and growth agenda, the SME agenda, has been variable. And I'd make a very, very strong argument that there's only two things that one ever needs to manage. That's a slight exaggeration. But two things that one needs to manage are metrics and incentives. And if you look at the metrics and incentives structures that have worked in business schools over the past 20 years, it has driven a particular focus on academic output. I remember when I came in as chair of the association, an early meeting with David Willetts was rather uncomfortable insofar as he more or less grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and said, why do you prioritize publishing in US, top-level US academic journals using US industrial data? What value is that to the British economy? Once he put me down and I got my breath back, I tried to give an answer that we actually do a huge amount with UK data. We actually do a huge amount of engagement with businesses, but those performance metrics on schools, and we mustn't forget this, on individual academics, has driven particular sets of behaviours. If we want other sets of behaviours, we have to incentivise in other ways. So I referred to the mid-sized business review that Sue Cox from Lancaster had led, and it generated really good words, and everyone signed up and agreed to it. But did it lead to anything? No, because it was not able to change some of the incentives and metrics. When we've started to, as the association started to work with Lord Young, with David Young, on the Small Business Charter, the key point was to look at addressing incentives and metrics. So really to go out and try and consciously incentivize business schools to engage with the innovation and growth agenda, much more widely than has been the case to date, and ensuring that best practice was spread across the sector. And we really saw two things that we wanted to focus on. The first was supporting small business growth, so in actual engagement with SMEs, and as a sideline of that, work with the local agencies. In the current environment, the LEPs to support that growth, but also to really drive forward student enterprise activity, to really foster that entrepreneurial drive within the business within not just business schools but across the university. So if I look at my own institution, the Glendenbrook Centre, it teaches across all the engineering faculties, and a lot of the students who are now coming back and wanting to come into incubator facilities are not business school students. They are students from engineering. They are students from design, they are students from science who have been exposed to the programs that we deliver, and they now want to take forward ideas. So we mustn't lose sight of that. In terms of promoting that and actually deepening that role, We've hinted about this in terms of the small business, the student startups, but it's also about building regional business support capability. The LEPs, we can look at Manchester, you can look at Birmingham, and where there are large city deals, there is evidence of some successful performance. There are other areas that don't have that same natural metropolitan focus where it is more difficult. And I think business schools can play a really important role in those contexts. And then from a biz perspective, what can business schools do to deliver particular support services? So that said, we would have three areas of activity as part of the Small Business Charter: small business support for growth, wider engagement in the growth agenda, so using business schools as sources of thinking, not just about channels of delivery, but sources of thinking for the design of economic innovation, economic regeneration strategies. Don't lose sight of the intellectual depth within business schools. And there was a point, slightly tongue-in-cheek, I suspect, made by Neil. Is it a business school or is it something broader than that? Most business schools actually nowadays, if you just look at the REF submission, the Research Evaluation Framework submissions, encompass economics and a range of other disciplines as well. They are relatively multidisciplinary. So there is a role in terms of that wider stakeholder engagement. And lastly, we mentioned the student-facing startup support. So what we've developed is a set of metrics that allow us to assess schools that meet certain criteria, get an award, bronze, silver, or gold. You can tell this was an Olympic legacy project. But what flows from that is access to delivering certain types of resources, certain packages, and I'll talk about those in just a second. So we were interested, really, in building entrepreneurial business schools. Just as an aside, one of the things we've seen over the past 5 years is a need to move, and I think I probably referenced this at the start, the move from being business schools that were primarily focused on corporates and dealing with corporates to balancing that out with dealing with SMEs. First of all, seeing student enterprise activity as being on a par with corporate. If I look at my own institution, we on our undergraduate programs, all our undergraduate business programs have year three out as a graduate level entry internship job. We've seen in the past 3 years, it may be triggered by the Glendinbrook Centre, I concede, but we have seen a very significant upsurge in the number of students who want to take a year in enterprise. In other words, they work in our incubator space, they have an academic mentor, and they have a business mentor. So we're managing to get that entrepreneurial side placed on a par with working for Goldman Sachs or JP Morgan or the standard business school career route. We need to try and see about putting SME support on par with corporate executive development, but come back to incentives. It's fine to say this, where's the money? And if I had a pound for every time a minister or a biz civil servant had said, you should do this, I go, yeah, fine, okay, you tell me that, but my finance director tells me you should deliver £1 million surplus, who am I going to listen to? So we need to be able to find a way that balances this off to enable us to do this effectively. And I think the Small Business Charter is starting to do that. So it's about creating incentive structures. It's about creating metrics. We also need to ensure that we've got the staff capability to support SMEs. Have all traditional academic staff had the skills? Probably not. We're seeing a really radical rebalancing of staff in business schools. It is quite remarkable. It's faster than any time I've seen in 20 years in business schools. So very briefly, finish off, I was going to have three slides, but the second one I was going to announce, Biz wants to announce that next week, so I'm not allowed to talk about it. So there's one thing here that's missing, I apologise. First one is we've worked with Biz to get a dedicated business school growth voucher programme. Many of you will be familiar with the growth voucher programme. This is dedicated for business schools. It's being set up partly as a study to compare the outcomes from what is done. It's the behavioral science unit in the Cabinet Office wanting to do this, compare the outcomes that we get from business school delivered growth voucher programs compared to those that are delivered through alternative more traditional consulting providers. So there's a consortium, of business schools involved. That's the format. And it's running at the moment. And the initial feedback is that it is working well, and the level of recruitment and engagement of SMEs is higher than we have seen in the traditional core growth voucher program led by BIS. We'll want to see what the results are at the end, obviously. So that's the first one. There was a second one missing. And then looking to the future, we are working on three areas. Two bits of funding that we have business school consortia working with Innovate UK. That for those of you who are not keeping up with the rebranding exercises, that was TSB until about a month ago. Working with them both on entrepreneurial skills training and improving commercial success of SMEs. And lastly, we're working on a bid for startup support for university startups. So working on a wide agenda, and I just wanted to drive from business schools at that broad level through to thinking about how business schools, a cluster of business schools. At the moment there are 20 in the UK that have secured small business charter, three with gold awards, the rest silver and bronze, and we have, I am delighted, a flow of another 12 to 15 expressed interest in coming in the coming year, which will give widespread coverage. So hopefully that's given you some insight into what business schools can do and are doing, and I'll now pass over to Neil. Thank you.
Thank you very much.